It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as finfanatic.com and the Fansided Network. It's rare that we do two shows in one day, but this certainly called for it. Mike McDaniel is the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Not a major surprise, but something we're certainly pumped about. You know, if you've listened to the show for the last two or three weeks, this was somebody that we wanted. And yes, Paul, he was your number one choice the entire time. At first, he was my number two guy, and Brian Daboll was my number one guy. But I mean, when you start thinking about the creativity that he can bring to this offense, I mean, you know, it feels like for the first time in at least since the end of the year, there is a lot of unified excitement for this hire.
I think so. And the one thing that I think a few folks aren't excited about are there are a few folks that didn't want a first-time head coach. There are a few folks that basically look at Mike McDaniel and go, who? You know, and there are a few folks that brought up some of the play calling at the end of that San Francisco playoff game. Mike McDaniel wasn't calling plays. He just designed scheme. Kyle Shanahan called plays. So play calling wise, I'm not putting that on him. There's a lot to like. He puts fat guys in the backfield, which you know I'm a fan of. He uses fullbacks. He utilizes personnel creatively to play to their strengths. One quick note, because it came up in the chat, the 49ers will get two compensatory picks because of the minority hire in Mike McDaniel. So they don't come from the Dolphins. They just get added to the pile of picks that the NFL gives out to teams. The 49ers will get two.
Absolutely. And I love that rule because it encourages teams to develop minority candidates, and then when they go on elsewhere, they get compensated for it. I think that's a fantastic rule, and it's one that I think is going to work moving forward. But going back to what you said, Paul, I mean, I cannot imagine personnel-wise how you feel about this, because the 49ers, if you look back at 2020, the 49ers led the NFL in pre-snap motion at 73%. And last year in 2021, I don't have the exact number, but it was more. So three out of every four plays, there was a pre-snap motion, and they use a fullback. I don't know if they're going to use a fullback here in Miami with Mike McDaniel. I mean, we'll see if that happens or not. But the big thing is Mike McDaniel's entire game is designing offensive systems that allow those offenses to stay unpredictable and create spacing because of that pre-snap motion.
Well, and he's not afraid to use anybody anywhere. It's you know, what we've talked about, and you've heard me say this, and I know a lot of our listeners have, I wanted us to move to a more positionless offense where you've got football players and you put them in the best places to misdirect the defense and let your offense succeed. And that's what Mike McDaniel's all about. Like, it's... You know, the fact that I love the press conference with him where a reporter asks him about, he goes, you tend to pitch the ball on dive plays and counter plays straight backwards. And typically when you pitch the ball, it's a sweep. Why would you do that? And McDaniel looked at him and said, you just answered your own question. If we pitch the ball on this dive play up the middle, we're not losing any time. But if you watch linebackers on that play, they're all going as if we're sweeping, and we're running through the gaping hole that they just left for us. So why wouldn't you do that? It's exactly what you said. Typically, people read their keys, and they're reading them wrong.
And one thing to piggyback on that, one thing that was said too, Mike McDaniel has said, is that there are no standalone plays in his offense. And what he means by that is that if they give a certain look in the first quarter and they run a certain play, they know that it's going to stay in the mind of that defensive coordinator and those defensive players throughout the game so that they can take advantage of that in the third or fourth quarter. So, for example, if they're lining up, if they're doing a fullback wheel route in the first quarter.
What kind of wheel route, Kat?
They're doing that so that the defense.
What kind of wheel route?
A wheel route for a fullback.
For who?
For a fullback.
Oh, just wanted to. I had something in my ear. I couldn't hear where.
You better get a fullback then.
Can we do a fullback preview show for the draft?
Nah, still not there.
Yes!
Still not there.
But. Oh!
Sorry.
Anyway, fullback wheel route. Go ahead.
So the reason that they want to make those types of plays is so that it stays in the minds of the defenses throughout the entire game. And everything about Mike McDaniel is about keeping defenses on their toes. And I understand that a lot has been made about he's never called plays. The reason he hasn't called plays is not because he couldn't figure out how to call plays. If you can design offenses like this, you can call plays. Is that Kyle Shanahan is one of the best play callers, if not the best play caller in the NFL, and he loves doing it. So why would he relinquish that to Mike McDaniel, even though he's capable of doing it?
You know who I cannot wait to see, and his name just came up in the chat. Yes, I can't wait to see the creative ways that they use Jaylen Waddle. I can't wait to see Lynn Bowden as part of a Mike McDaniel offense. I really hope we get to see Mike Gesicki as part of a Mike McDaniel offense. Like, I start looking down the guys we've got and some of the guys available in the draft. One of the guys we talked about from the Senior Bowl, Calvin Austin, the third, would be really fun in a Mike McDaniel offense. Like, you start looking at players now, and this is where we can really kick our offseason coverage into high gear, because we can look at players from a perspective of how Mike McDaniel could play with them and utilize them. And this could be really, really fun to look at for this. Like, some of those guys that don't have a necessary fit with other teams might be a great fit, because they may not excel in any area, but the fact that Mike McDaniel has these setup plays that you can utilize these guys in multiple ways for could make them useful and I love it.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And I know a lot of pessimistic Dolphins fans out there are going to say, you know, well, we heard the same thing about Adam Gase, we heard the same thing about Joe Philbin. I don't think this is the same thing on paper, because they did not create offensive systems that were lauded in this way. That's the difference. Look, just again, like I said, based on the law of averages, it's likely any head coach is going to get fired in the next 3 or 5 years, especially if you're the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. But I'm excited about this. I think this is different. And as far as how this relates to Tua, you know, and part of the reason Mike McDaniel would not be here if he didn't believe in Tua. And what I like about it is with the play action, with the misdirection, with the creating spacing, that's exactly what Tua needs. Another thing that he needs, and McDaniel has seen this firsthand in San Francisco, he needs at least 3 quality offensive linemen added to this roster. I mean, you take a look at what the Niners have done here over the last couple of years. Traded a second round pick for Trent Williams, who's arguably the best left tackle in football. They sign stalwart, possible Hall of Famer Alex Mack at center. They draft Mike McGlinchey in the first round here a couple of years ago. They have put in the resources to make the offensive line good so that they can be creative. If the Dolphins don't put in those same resources and they have the money and the draft picks to do so in the offseason, none of this is going to work.
Well, here's the good, fun part about this. I've been saying for about 2 months now that Miami is set up to do that with the offensive line this offseason. We've talked about some of the offensive line candidates that are going to be out there on the market. we're already gushing over some of the fat guys from the Senior Bowl and in the upcoming draft. And Robert Hunt definitely looks like he is going to be a stalwart. And I'm very curious to see some of the guys like Solomon McKinley that went from being starters to just not using them. Nope. That I think Miami's going to use. And I can't imagine during the 10 hours that McDaniel spent with Chris Greer and company on Friday that he didn't basically come in and say, look, I've looked at this offensive line. We got to fix it. And Greer probably looked at him and said, I got you. I got $74 million in fun money this offseason and an offensive tackle class that is so good that we will go out and try to get two of these guys for
you. It's good. It's good in free agency, and it's very, very deep in the draft too. There is no excuse to not add two or three. And a name that I tweeted out here about a half an hour ago is Laken Tomlinson, the guard from the 49ers. His first year, he was a first-round pick of the Lions in 2015. Big bust for them, not a big surprise in the first 2 years. Goes to the 49ers in 2017, the first year that Mike McDaniel is there as their run game coordinator. And since then, Tomlinson has been one of the best offensive guards in the league. And Tomlinson hits free agency this year as a left guard. That's a name to certainly keep an eye on. And if they're able to land somebody like him, you've got Tomlinson at left guard, Robert Hunt at right guard, and Michael Dieter presumably at center, unless they want to try to take a next step up there.
Or Zion Johnson.
Zion Johnson. And is certainly a possibility. You know, he played center at the Senior Bowl this past week, and the offensive tackle group is stacked, and the Dolphins have money to spend there. But that is the big thing. If this is going to work, this offensive line needs to go from a D to a B plus or an A. If that happens, I am very, very excited about this season.
I think it's going to happen. I absolutely think it's going to happen. I've been saying that when before Flores got fired. I've been saying it since. And you're going to hear me continue to say it until they either do or they don't. And if they don't, if we go through free agency and they haven't done their damnedest to get at least one of these guys, if not two. If we go through the draft and they haven't done their damnedest, well, our show is going to be a fun one to watch because I am going to be miserable as far as that goes. So it's if they don't, shame on them.
Well, one player that may not be available for the Dolphins if they're looking to add to their offense is Alvin Kamara, who was arrested after today's Pro Bowl. So he may not be somebody. Yeah. NFL player Alvin Kamara arrested for battery resulting in substantial bodily harm.
Well, it certainly didn't happen in the Pro Bowl. Nobody was hitting anybody.
Yeah, that's one game I'd never watch. I will watch any single – you put a preseason game in front of me, I'll watch it. Pro Bowl is not a game. It's just a complete spectacle. Like, you can't do anything. You can't blitz. And I will promise you, the first time that – somebody actually gets hurt, tears an ACL, they're going to pull that game so fast, it'll make your head spin. But wow on Kamara here. I mean, oof. So we'll see.
Just keep the NFL out of Vegas, man. Like, good Lord. Like, there's nothing good coming of that.
And the Pro Bowl, please. One other thing, too, Paul, is reports are coming out, too, that there is a high likelihood the Dolphins keep their defensive staff in place.
Oh, you mean like I said I wanted?
Part two of our you know, kind of wet dream here with the Dolphins.
Because I'm pretty sure I said get a guy like McDaniel and keep the defensive staff. Huh. I'm good with that.
It's not even just Josh Boyer and, you know, there's some – excuse me, I've got a little bit of a cough tonight. There's some – back and forth about hold on.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'm going to answer pressure bust pipes and makes diamonds. Yeah, whether he looks like a leader of men, go watch some footage of Mike McDaniel. He'll be sitting in a room with Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, you name it. And when he speaks, they all shut up and they listen. It's you talk to Kyle Juszczyk, you talk to George Kittle, and numerous folks out there. Everything on this guy is screams a leader of men. So whether he looks like it or not, you watch, he talks, people follow. And he's a player's coach. He's been described as a savant. He's been described as a leader. You watch him in his press conferences and the way he commands a room. And regardless of what he looks like in a photo, he absolutely is a leader of men.
And Kyle Juszczyk said his creativity, ingenuity, and ability to connect with players is unmatched. George Kittle jokingly, but not jokingly, said that he wants this guy written into his contract, a Pro Bowl, possible Hall of Fame tight end. Andrew Hawkins, who played for the Niners a while ago and is a commentator, said he would bet every dollar in his bank account that nobody knows offensive football on the planet more than this guy. I mean, it's just glowing review after glowing review. And you pair that with just, you know, a couple of years ago, Raheem Mostert in the NFC Championship game to get the 49ers to the Super Bowl runs for 220 yards and four touchdowns to get the Niners to the Super Bowl in a game where Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even have to throw passes. Like, literally, I don't know the exact stats, but I don't think he threw more than 10 passes in that game. I mean, that is incredible. So there's just, I understand the skepticism, but there's a lot to be excited about here.
There is. And for them to say that about Mike McDaniel, when I think Hawkins was there, when it was Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and LaFleur all in the room, as far as that goes. And you listen to, and Matt Breida has said he wants to come back to Miami because what McDaniel was able to do with Breida out in San Francisco, he wants to be a part of that again. So you've got players saying they want to come play for this man. He's going to be a beacon that draws players to Miami that have played for him in the past, and players talk to each other.
Yes, and I want Matt Breida not here. But I appreciate the enthusiasm for Matt Breida, and let me be clear about that. You know, he's still Matt Breida, the Walmart Breida, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but what I would say
when you take a look.
What I would say to that is I trust McDaniel and his offensive vision enough that if he wants Matt Breida in the building, okay. Let's see what you got.
When you look at the running backs that have been successful and rotated in and out, I mean, you're talking
Elijah Mitchell,
Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Elijah Mitchell, who I don't really think is that good, to be honest with you, but was a steal in the sixth round. Hey,
he had 900 and something yards this year. 900 and something yards.
Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, Elijah Mitchell. Yes, and Mitchell missed a few games too. So to me, he's the most talented of the bunch. You certainly get the kudos for that. But the point is they can rotate running backs in and out of that offensive system. And the expectation is that the Dolphins are going to be able to do that too with McDaniel here. And what I like about this too, and the key is to be able to get the offensive linemen that can wear down the opposing defensive front so that the running back position becomes that much more meaningless and you can rotate more running backs in and out of the lineup.
Papa Hog, this is not players saying that. Guys like, yeah, Matt Breida is saying that about him, and yeah, Matt Breida is bouncing around the league. But you've got guys like Juszczyk isn't trying to get a job. George Kittle's not trying to get a job. You know, you start looking at that. That's a silly comment. It's Robert Saleh gushed over this guy, with other than the fact that he's going to be in his division now. You're not trying to... That's a silly comment. I'm sorry, Papa.
Yeah, I can't find that, but I'll assume that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of excitement here from this guy. And you know I'm not somebody who gets excited very often.
Well, only if Isaiah Ford gets in the game.
No, that's you. I don't get excited about
I get excited because I know how mad you are.
But what I am excited about is that we get somebody in the building that is smart, that knows how to develop offenses. And on the defensive side of the ball, it's not just about Josh Boyer and keeping that. It's keeping the same defensive scheme that I believe that these players on defense were scared of losing when Flores was fired. And you also keep Austin Clark as a defensive line coach. You also possibly keep Gerald Alexander and Charles Burks as defensive backs coaches. Now, it's quite possible that they aren't retained because it's so uncommon for that to happen. But right now, it looks like the odds are better than at least 50% that this defensive staff is going to stay intact. And the only thing Josh Boyer needs to do is attack on defense, which is the reason for the Dolphins being successful on defense over the last 2 years.
One thing I'm excited to see, and I know McDaniel is an offensive mind, is what contributions he is able to make to the defensive side of the ball as far as vision and ability to see and read some of the things on the offensive side. I would not blame McDaniel for putting a little bit of a stamp on what they've already built over there, and I'd be very curious to see how that goes down. I mean, it's this, like I said, this man's a football savant, and what you said about the way he sees offensive football could definitely be a huge contribution to Boyer on the other side of the ball. And I want to see him basically tell Boyer, we want you to do exactly what you just said. Attack. Play to win. Not play to conserve the game and not lose. I hate that. Hate it.
Yeah. A few comments here in chat, and very good ones. We have the best listeners here. Cruz Ruiz said, Vic Fangio to Miami would be fire. And that's a name to definitely keep in mind. Runs more of a 3-4 defense. One issue I have with him is he plays a lot more zone, but he's a little bit more adaptable too. So Vic Fangio, great defensive coordinator. I am really big on keeping a man-to-man type of defense. Now, if Fangio can adapt to that, I'm all for him. Also, Clementi 3472 said we need to draft Trey McBride. I'm sorry, but no, we don't, even though I think he's a good player. I'm done with tight ends here. Maybe Mike
tight ends.
Mike Gesicki. Hey, probably
if we lose Smythe and we lose Gesicki, we might have to take one.
Christopher Dunkley here in chat pointed out a few free agency names. Brandon Scherff, Teron Armstead, Devontae Adams, Ryan Jensen. Yes, please, and thank you. I mean, there are a lot of big names that the Dolphins are going to have the opportunity to sign here. So,
you know who I don't want? $30 million Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to cost. And I'm probably out at that point, too.
I'm out well before $30 million.
Mike Morris said the Pro Bowl is sad. Oh God, I could not agree more. What an
embarrassment. That would be an improvement.
Wait. I cannot tell you how many more ways, as somebody who only watches football, to spend a Sunday afternoon. I mean, yikes. So anyway, I don't have a motivational close here, but
things are looking up.
Take it, Paul.
This is our second show for today, guys. Go ahead and click the like button. Make sure you guys subscribe. We're going to be we're hitting our stride right now. Our off-season coverage. I would put our off-season coverage honestly up against anyone out there. I think we are that good in the off-season. I enjoy it. the interaction from you guys. Thank you guys for hopping on here for the second time today. A lot of you, I see a lot of the names I saw earlier. You know, give us a review out on iTunes, all those things. And guys, we finally have our guy, a guy that we collectively wanted, somebody that I think is going to help Tua grow and do the innovative things on offense that are what football is today. It's having the offense be an afterthought and play to not lose put us in a lot of situations. He's going to run the ball. He is going to run the football. And that's exciting because that's been something that's been a problem for Miami for a while now, even when they've had the talent there. And we're going
to
have
some fun. And there's going to be a dedication to running the football.
Yes.
Because it's bothered me for the last 20 years. And Jimmy Johnson had the idea to do it, but he just had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and J.J. Johnson and Irving Spikes in the backfield for too long. It is 90 degrees in Miami throughout the entire year. If you get big uglies inside, you run, and you're effective running the ball, that's when your play action gets that much more effective.
Yeah, and I think when you take a look,
and say what you want about Tua's arm strength and size, and you'd be right in that. But the reality, too, is when you can play action and go off that running game, you create spacing for that quarterback, and you also create spacing for those receivers. And that's where the Dolphins need to get to on the offensive side of the ball. And you factor in, too, the pre-snap motion. I'm excited. I mean, get the fullback out of there. But, you know, other than that, I'm excited.
I am, too. And, somebody's mentioning Breece Hall in the chat. Ah, can't wait to talk about him because I know we both like that guy. Kat, I think I'm good. I can't wait to talk more about this. I think we'll probably have to have a show during the week as the staff gets announced here and we know what's what. I like the fact that McDaniel's on a 4-year deal. And, wait, am I supposed to say it?
Say what?
Something about if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side.
Oh no! I'm still gonna sign us off here. Thank you for joining us here.
Let's take us
Thank
home.
Thank you for Kat. Joining us here on the Fin side for this late night show with the hiring of Mike McDaniel. And I'm Brian Kat NFL and Paul is Fanatic_Pick. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fan Sided Network and FinFanatic.com. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Almost 400 people watching now. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.